who decided to take his family from Ur, and he said, let's go all the way to Canaan, this great promised land. I don't know what the motivation was. But so if Ur was here, if Canaan was there, they ended up right about there and said, oh, that's good enough. Do you know what it's like to be a part of that type of family? Great dreams, great ideas and ideals. You know, there's a gold mine, there's a plan, there's a dream, and it's, oh, well, that's good enough. Let's rest, let's stop. That's, they didn't finish what they accomplished. Second thing we know about him is that he never displayed initiative before. This spiritual giant at age 75 had accomplished nothing without his father's permission. He lived with his dad. He was part of the business. He showed no initiative. He showed no separation before. And we won't necessarily blame him for these things, but this isn't really a great, what we'd call, hero of the faith. Third thing that we know about is that he was a living oxymoron. You know, weird. His name, you know, imagine going through life. You know, back then, names were important. And his parents, when they named him or whoever he got the name, they looked at him and they said, our promise, our desire for you, oh son, would you not just be a doctor? Well, this wasn't about a doctor. So they gave him a name and said, oh son, won't you just become the father of nations? We're going to give you the name Abram. And he's 75 years old and he doesn't have one child. And everywhere he goes in the marketplace, hey, who are you? Oh, my name is Abram. Wow, what kind of family do you have? None. It's Sarai and I, and we're tight. That's it. That's got to really kind of wreak havoc in your well-being and in your personality to be given this great dream and promise from your parents and not being able to fulfill it even to the get started on that pathway. Can you relate with a guy like Abram? Do you know what it's like to be part of a family that doesn't achieve what it says it's going to try and accomplish? Are you that type of person or know people that haven't really lived with incredible ambition? You've kind of gone with the flow, whatever your family says, other people says, that's been good enough. Have you found that you've had dreams instilled upon you? You long for more, but there's no earthly way that anything different can be accomplished, though your heart may ask for it. Well, to those types of people, people probably like me, perhaps people like you, God says, there's a future. On a day that got Abram's attention, God showed up and listen to his words. The Lord said to Abram, Genesis 12, verse 1, you know it. Go forth from your country, from your relatives, and your father's house to the land I will show you. Isn't God so amazing and glorious? If I were God, and I first time I contacted Abram, you know what I would say? I'd probably say, this is God. I'd probably say stuff like, hey, Abram, I see you're looking and longing for more. Why don't you partner with me and let's do something? Or maybe even, hey, favored one, Abram, I love you. I care about you. You're special to me. I will send my son to die for your sin. I don't know, a bunch of those things. Instead, God just shows up out of the blue and says, leave your country, leave your people, and leave your family. Let's think about that. Leave your land or your country. The same word as land, land, country. Has anybody here been a farmer? You've been a farmer? Okay, maybe you're in Campbell River. You've been fishermen. Okay, I realize many of you have. Okay, farmers. You can take the farmer from the farm, but you can never take the farm out of the farmer, if you understand. If you go visit a farmer who's lived on the farm all his life, he'll still have cowboy boots on. He'll still long to drive a truck, if at all possible. He will still have on his wall probably a picture of the farm and the estate of where he grew up. Why? Because he lived it. He longs for it. Its identity. He remembers all of the stories and the experiences and the meals. It was all of who he was. Abram was a farmer. He was part of an agricultural society. And for God to say, now leave your land, God was inviting him to leave his identity, all that he knew of who he was. Thanks, God. Second thing God said was leave your people and relatives. Now, for some of you, that'd probably be a good thing. That'd be an easy thing. Okay, I get to leave some of my relatives behind. We all have our dysfunctional individuals. But this is your comfort zone. These are the people you hang out with, or I hang out with, and we get, and we understand. And thirdly, leave your mom and dad, your father's house. To this point, Abram hadn't. A good son should be there by his father's side to bury him, to honor him, to take care of them in their old age, to be a part of their lives. And God said, I have a purpose for you far greater than your call to your family, and I want you to go and leave. And that is a very difficult, hard thing. About 19 years and 3 months ago, I married a very beautiful woman, and she's still very beautiful, and I'm still married to her. And on that day, our wedding was on a Sunday, and I was heading out to seminary with my beautiful bride, who was going to be attending Bible college at Northwest Baptist. I was going to the seminary there. She was going to the college. So on the Sunday, we got married. That Sunday night, we were off to our honeymoon, and then 2 days later, we were driving across the country. Now, my wife came from a background. Her father was quite abusive. She'd gone through a lot of stuff. She had a bit brain tumor and stuff, and she was really tight with her family, her mom and her brother specifically, and her aunts and some things like that. They'd suffered together. They'd gone through stuff together, and they were very close, probably enmeshed a little bit, but, you know, they were close. On the day of her wedding, as we go off on our honeymoon, and where my parents live on this creek by the Ottawa River, and so I thought it'd be really romantic to take a boat, which we did. We took a boat away on our honeymoon to cross the river, which is fairly large, to go to a cabin on the other side for a couple of days, and then we would head off. So as we're traveling on just a little boat, putt, 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 going down this creek, I had these beautiful romantic ideals. And, you know, I'd gone through that journey like 35 times in my mind already. But when reality hit, it was far different than anything I ever imagined, because my wife, my new bride, she was getting me. That's pretty something. And she was bawling. We're driving away into the sunset with a flood of tears. And for 2-3 hours of my union with her, all she did was cry. God, why have you first? No, it's not like that. All she did was cry because she was leaving her mom. Because she knew there was going to be birthdays, that there was going to be Christmases, there was going to be times of good, times of suffering, times of whatever, and they were no longer going to be that accessible, because we were traveling, it seemed like, to a godforsaken land, which was BC, because we were living in Ontario, and it like seemed like the very end of the world. It is a tough call that God said to Abram, leave everything behind. Don't worry about it. And then he says this. And go to the place I'm going to show you. Go to the land that I'm going to show you. To follow God, to hear his voice takes courage. To say yes to him. There are things that God asks from us that we may not necessarily even welcome. Who is God to be able to meddle in our lives that way? Number one, he's God. But number two, he has our best interest in heart. It is the same as Jesus who invited fishermen to say, leave everything and come follow me. It's the same thing as Jesus who invited people and said, if you want to follow me, you gotta lay down your life. You gotta take up your cross and come follow me. But God said to Abram, but if you follow, you are going to a place or a land which I am going to show you. And that which is your identity, which you're leaving behind, this land, is the exact same thing, a new land, a promised land, a new identity, a new hope, a new desire, a new something that you wouldn't even be able to imagine or dream of. So go and listen and be a part of it. You see, what Abram heard immediately from that is that when we obey God and leave the land to go to the one he shows us, what we leave, we receive. Or as the words of Jesus, the one who gives up family, mother, sister, brothers and sisters will inherit these things and even more as they enter the kingdom of heaven. And there are God articulates very clearly to Abram four things that we receive. And the first thing he says, verse 2, I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. Do you remember what Abram was wrestling with all his life? Whoever it was who gave him that vision, you're going to be a great nation, a father of a great nation. You know, he and Sarai, as they went to all of the baby showers, and it's like, oh, I'm so happy for you, but what about me, God? Oh, I'm so happy that you're celebrating. And finally, God says, that which you were made for, that which you were designed for, just but follow me, and I will set your life free. Not only am I giving you a new identity, I am restoring that vision, that purpose, that hope, that dream, that deep angst within your soul. I am restoring that to you because I love you. Everything, that which is, you know, we all have some of those dreams. You know, some of them are just make-believe. But some of us in our deeper, innermost soul have those things that gnaw at us, that play at us at night and say, God, what about? God, have mercy. God, I remember that dream as a child. I remember when I said yes to you. I thought this was going to happen. Why not, God? And sometimes God says, will you but say yes to me again and try me one more time and have courage because I desire to give to you what you were made for. We receive a place in God's history books. To Abram, he said, your name will be great. You will be a blessing. Your name will be great. Just one generation ago, the whole world wanted their name to be great, and they wanted to make their name great and establish a monument to themselves, and God put his thumb on it, divided them at the Tower of Babel, and said, no, not for you, not for humanity. It's your name can only be great if I give you a great name. But don't make your name great. Follow the pathway of humility. But if you but do that, don't you know that I want to share with you my blessing? I want to share with you. I want to call you my children. I want to do something beyond that would make you proud. It would make your, maybe not so much your parents proud, but I want to make your name great. But you can't do it on your own. Third thing, we receive God's protection. Jesus, the text says, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse the ones who curse you. And literally what God was telling Abram is, I got your back. We live in a world, and sometimes we truly are afraid to step out into the areas that God would call us to go. It's scary out there. We want to protect our kids. I got a couple of kids. I love to wrap them up in, like, you know, pillows and nice and soft and silky thing, make sure that they don't hear any bad language or anything, you know, and just to kind of keep them in a bubble. don't be parents, but that doesn't really work that well. Okay, God, I'm going to follow you, but would you, you know, we're always concerned about protection, and God says, it's the same thing about making your name great. God says, I will get your back. There will be trials, there will be challenges, but if you but say yes to me, you will see miracles because I will hold your soul in the palm of my hand, and I will bless you. And those that do not, I will look after you. Finally, God said, I give you, I invite you to think of a vision that's even larger than you ever dreamed before. Here was Abram living his own life, doing his own thing. And I realize that we're not going to do a one-to-one correspondence here, but first of all, let's listen to what God promised Abram. And in you, your act of obedience, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. You see, what you will do, Abram, is like tipping over that first domino that, no, it isn't about you, it's about me, it's about my story, and it's for my glory, but you'll have had a part to play, and your part to play will have been at the end of the line, you'll have hit plink, and God said, watch what I will do, watch what I will do, see who will be born, see what will be accomplished, because you said yes and went on a journey you never even knew you wanted to take until you actually did. And the whole world will be blessed because you said yes. By the way, if you didn't say yes, somebody else would get that blessing and somebody else would do that job, but it might as well be you. You see how loving God is to you? To me. God works through people. He works through people's obedience. That's what faith does. There are things which we long for and want to see, that we pray for, that we ask God to intervene. And often God looks at you and says, well, why don't you then take a risk? Listen, step out, go to seminary, step into a missional group, say yes to your pastor, move. You know, there's all sorts of ways that we can apply this. The fact of the matter is that we live in a world that needs desperately God to intervene. And God says, I want to. I long to. I long to see people in Campbell River free. I long to see people come to Christ. I long to see the community be networked together well. I long to see moms be restored or lives to be restored, families to be brought back together. But I ask you to help me accomplish it. Will you say yes? Will you be obedient? You've been around church long enough. I don't need to put a guilt trip on you. Most likely, I imagine some of you are already wrestling or rattling around with enough things. And so this isn't just about any more guilt. I close with just simply these couple of questions. First question, what is God asking of you to do this day? What dream is he asking you to take that first step towards? What act? What does obedience look like? God's call and plan and purpose for you. Second question, will you do it? Will you do it? Will you say yes? Will you try something different? Will you be courageous and allow yourself to become that first domino in the kingdom of God? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come before you. I believe in this message. I believe that you are a God who is gracious to us and merciful to us and invites us to hear your voice and follow you. I believe that you're merciful and gracious and you invite our lives to matter as we say yes to you. And so God, for this church with great history, with great ministry within its present, Lord, I pray that you would call out from amongst these people your servants who will wrestle with you until they say yes. I pray that you would give them your vision, that they would not ignore, but they would take whatever creative steps are required, courageous steps are required. Because God, we long for your glory on earth. In Christ's name, amen. There's some servants and some people who will pray for communion. And as they're coming, what I want you to reflect upon before we, as we come to this table, is what Christ did for you. Remember what, how could God ask Abram to leave your identity, your land, leave your comfort zones, your people, leave your family, and go to the place? God could do that because that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus left his royalty to become a servant. He left his land, the place that he was worshipped and adored, so that he could serve you. Jesus left his comfort zones so that he could wash your feet, so that he could die on the cross for your sin. Jesus left his family. And upon the cross, as his body was broken, as blood was poured out, he called out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Where are you? Where's my dad? Where's the one that I've been close to all my life? But Jesus separated himself, allowed himself to be separated, leaving it all behind because of his love for you. You see, the message of what faith looks like is not just a message of have courage, do it all by yourself. It's this, at the table, Jesus already shed his blood for you. He gave his life for you. He gave his love for you. So before you take one step of courage, we must first all feast and receive and celebrate what he has done for us to empower us, to forgive us, to set us free. And so I invite you to spend a moment of thanksgiving and preparation before we take these emblems together. Thank God, thank Jesus for willing to separate himself for you so that you're giving up his life so that your life would be full.